This is Overdrive.
Stumble in front of that long shot. Mo Nylander scores! Wee Willie Nylander ties the game!
With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues live from the SportCheck studio right outside of Maple Leaf Square. Game 4 tonight, about 2 hours away. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Pre-game at 6:30. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan around the table. Expecting a good crowd in Maple Leaf Square tonight. Expecting a rambunctious crowd within the ACC tonight.
Yes. And I have sent the email regarding the alumni box. If there is pesto chicken penne, we will venture down after the first.
They will allow us to pop by and say hello?
Yes.
I'm praying for that. I am quite hungry to begin with.
What would you think about a 2-0 lead after one and then some pesto chicken penne?
Heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Heaven on earth is the Maple Leafs pouncing tonight and then me just nosediving some penne pesto chicken.
Maybe we could sneak in a spring roll, perhaps?
If they're around.
Maybe.
There's
maybe.
No guarantees they'll be there, man. But scoring first tonight is imperative because talk to the Oilers about that. The Sharks got rolling. They got one, and the next thing you know, two, three, four.
Well, I'm pretty sure, Brian, the Washington Capitals said at the last game, let's get ahead here. Let's make a statement. Yeah. They did. And we all know what happened after that.
San Jose's winning goal was scored at the 15-second mark of the first period last night.
Yikes.
Which, I mean, they didn't look back. And Edmonton looked terrible. They were off their game. They were undisciplined. And San Jose just poured it to them. They're 4-for-8 on the power play.
That's incredible. You give up 8 power plays, and then on 50% of them, you give up a goal. 50% power play is amazing to begin with, let alone on 8 opportunities.
That's the problem. Like, the undisciplined, stupid penalties and – you know, they just had a night. It's interesting because, you know, I like McDavid's comments after. It seemed poised. You don't know what he's really thinking, but he goes, they didn't get 2 wins tonight. They got 1. Doesn't matter, you lose 7-0. How quickly you regroup and you leave that in San Jose will be interesting for me.
Well, it's funny because the context of a series and the mood surrounding it changes every single night.
Right.
I think if you spoke to the Oilers before they flew to San Jose and you said, I'll give you a split, how do you feel about that? I think they probably say, I'll take a split. But then you go up 2-1, and you get greedy.
Right, right.
Not only that, you don't just lose in game 4. You get embarrassed. You got smoked.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing would apply here with Toronto. After a split in Washington, if I told the Leafs before game 3, I'm going to give you a win here over the next 2 games, would you take it? I think most people would say, yeah, I'll take a split.
I would, yeah.
I'll take 2-2 going into game 5.
Yeah.
But yet you got to get greedy. And you guys said earlier, you both said, whoever wins tonight, that's where the series
is
going.
That's the way I feel. I mean, James' logic, too, James Duthie's logic was, I agreed with it because there's so many swings within the series, and at what point does the pressure shift onto the Maple Leafs?
You can never say never. I mean, you look at a couple years ago what LA did to San Jose when they were down 3-0. They ultimately won the Stanley Cup. So
I know.
Let's ask your boy Ray what he thinks.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, these two hot take Harrys beside me are suggesting that whoever wins the game tonight wins the series. Do you believe that?
Yes. I keep waiting. It bugs me to agree. You know, I hate that. I keep waiting for Washington to be able to take the series over, like to take the game over and really control one. And maybe I'll be waiting into next week and it won't happen. But they're in a place that I think we can all agree they didn't think they were going to be in, no matter how many nice things they say about the Leafs. I think they probably felt they had a better team. But it's certainly not played out that way. But if Washington wins tonight, then now Toronto's got to find a way to win again on the road. I would agree with that. It's obviously critical game.
Brian Hayes says this is a legacy game for a particular player on the ice tonight, and that player is Alex Ovechkin. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
No, I disagree with that.
Come on, Ray.
a legacy game?
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. It's a legacy game. This is a legacy game. Let me lay out my hot take for you, and then you can continue to agree or disagree. But he is the superstar in the series. He believes, I'm sure, he's better than Sidney Crosby, and he deserves more adulation than Sidney Crosby. If you are a top two or three player in your respective sport, that means you are Sid, you're Ovechkin, you're Brady, you're Manning, you're LeBron, you're Steph Curry. A game like tonight where your team is down 2-1 in a series you're supposed to win, if you're not the best player on the ice, court, or field, I think you failed yourself and failed your team. And this is a guy who does not have the greatest playoff reputation, as we know, does not have the greatest reputation in the big moments at the Olympics. I'm not saying a win or loss even factors into it. They could lose tonight, but this is a game where I believe if he is the superstar that he is, he's the best player on the ice tonight. And there's no rhyme or reason for him not to be. And quite frankly, I think if he's only average or below that, it's truly an indictment on Alex Ovechkin.
Well, he averages almost a point a game in the playoffs. There's not many players that do that.
He doesn't seem to win, though, Ray. I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, right. He's not a tennis player. You can't win by yourself. And so it's easy to poke holes at. I mean, I'd like to see him score 3 goals in a big game, too, and so you can say, oh, that's what we've always been waiting for. But there's lots of great players that never win. And you can't tell me that Sergei Breland is the best player you've ever seen, but he's got a couple of Stanley Cups with the Devils. Sometimes you're a good player in the right spot. Sometimes you're a great player and you can't do enough to help your team win, but I never think it's that simplistic. I can't believe his entire... Go ahead.
Well, I'm not saying win or loss is on him. I'm saying he is the best player in the series. He's Alex Ovechkin.
Right,
I think, a top 5 or 7 goal scorer of all time. He's won multiple Hart
trophies.
That's
why it's not a legacy game.
Well, okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's your opinion. But I'm saying when your back is up against the wall and, you know, you referenced his stats. He's got 2 goals. And both of them clearly important goals. Both of them early in games. Early in game 2, early in game 3. I thought he kind of disappeared the rest of the game. So if that's good enough, if he scores a goal tonight and that's all that matters and Ovi did his job, okay. But I don't remember, when did that become the standard for superstars? I don't remember that being
the case. When does winning a Stanley Cup, in what world does winning a Stanley Cup
mean? Ray, I'm not saying Stanley Cups. I didn't say that.
It's a legacy game. If he's not the best player on the ice, there's 39 other players out there tonight.
Who's the best player in the series?
Some of them are actually pretty good. Some of them are actually
pretty good. Who's the best? But who do you think is the best player? Okay.
I don't think he's the best player on his team.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Backstrom is
better? I think Nick Backstrom is the best player on the team.
Backstrom is...
He's a great player.
He's Sakic-like for me because he's such a great player, but he's so unassuming that, you know, I think Joe Sakic's one of the greatest players who ever played, but still flies under the radar, even though he's a Hall of Famer. It's crazy. And Backstrom has that feel to him because he's just not loud and boisterous, and he doesn't really run guys over, but he just gets the job done.
Well, I would argue he probably has more to give, wouldn't you think, if you're a Capitals fan or associated with the team?
I think so, yeah.
Ray?
I would say there's 2 guys that really have to play tonight for Washington, and it's Kuznetsov and Backstrom. Kuznetsov's had a brutal year. He's a really, really good player. And he has not made any impact or certainly not enough of an impact. Ovechkin, to me, this is what I've always viewed. When I view Ovechkin as a player, he doesn't impact many areas of the game. He's not going to kill penalties. He's not going to be a great defensive player. If you're defending a lead, he's probably not going to be on the ice. He is the best pure shooter probably in the game. I mean, you could probably pick another guy that would be around his ability, and he's physical, but he's not fast anymore. He's super powerful, and then I've already laid out where he doesn't else doesn't contribute to other portions of the game. So I wouldn't say he's the best guy on their team. I would say that he does. He's got some warts on him, and he didn't come up very big at the Olympics either. And those are all things that you can look at negative as on Ovechkin's legacy. But the fact is, he's got over, well, I don't know, what's he got, 500 and something or other goals. The guy's a brilliant shooter, but he needs help. And that, I don't think, is in question.
So you're saying no guy to the legacy game?
Capital no.
All right. There's only so much opportunity at 31 for him to be the best player on the ice in the biggest moment. And that's where he's at. You only get so many of these opportunities. And I hear what you're saying in terms of the maybe deficiencies or where he's not going to factor in. But
let's just be honest, though. The Washington Capitals have done everything in their capabilities to provide him with the supporting cast to get this job done.
Right. And what you said there, like the physicality in particular, is something he can control. He can't control getting, you know, a pass in the slot. He can't control, you know, having a 5-on-3 so he's wide open, or necessarily control getting a breakaway or what kind of, you know, this kind of stuff has been there for him in the first three games. He hasn't capitalized on any of them, but he can control being an absolute tank. And I used the Lindros analogy earlier in the show, Ray. I said there are two guys for me over the past 25 years who you can walk out of a rink and say, I think that guy had 10 hits, 10 shots, and 2 goals. I can't believe I just saw that. Like Sam Rosen.
Right.
And it's Lindros and Ovechkin. And I haven't seen it through three games out of Ovi. I just haven't seen it. And I think that's a benefit to the Maple Leafs.
Right.
And I think you have to give credit to the Maple Leafs. They've done a pretty good job of keeping them from exploding in many ways.
Well, one thing that is, you know, I mentioned a little earlier is, you know, he's not fast. And so when the Leafs move the puck from side to side, he can't get, in some cases, to where the hit is. And so I think at times he kind of backs off even chasing the hit. Like, do you not? I'm sure you do. We all notice there's times out there he's just like he's kind of hanging out. And you're like, man, go somewhere. But I think it's because he can't get to where he wants to be, so he plays the averages of where the puck might come next. And that takes away some of the 230-pound ferocity that he could have.
He's probably one of those guys, Ray. It wouldn't, like, if he wants to stay with it, he better show up to camp at 200 pounds next year and try it that way.
I know firsthand how
things slow down.
I am not disagreeing with that at all. Like, it, you know, if as you get older, basically the, you know, you're tugging around weight on the ice that you don't need to be. And maybe he could drop 10 and it might help him. But then he might score 2 goals tonight and then we don't even talk about it anymore. But one thing I think is probably going to happen is we'll see more minutes from him tonight. And the Caps it might seem insignificant, but to me it made me think right away. They made a little bit of a lineup swap, it looks like, that Brett Connolly's going to move to Beagle and Winnick's line, and Tom Wilson will move to Burakovsky and Eller. And so maybe you'll see less of Beagle out against Matthews, and that opens up more minutes for Ovechkin. Like, maybe we're going to see him more front and center, which is probably where he's got to be. As I mentioned, Kuznetsov and Backstrom earlier, those guys have to be in the center of the game. They can't be bit players. And Ovechkin's the same.
Well, it's interesting. Right. Like, we have focused actually a lot on Washington over the past couple of days and players that haven't performed up to their capabilities or guys that we have circled that you would think they're hoping to see more out of.
Right.
What about flipping it over onto the Maple Leaf side? Is there anyone that has to perform better or has to step up considering the way the first three games have played out going into game 4 for you?
Oh, I don't know. I always think there's an extra gear sometimes with JVR because I think he's a terrific player. But what would you change out of the games? Like, maybe they'd start a little, you know, maybe they would get a quicker start in a couple of the games, but for the most part, I'm like, man, they've kind of played pretty well. Like, there's not really any places you can poke holes and go, oh, that defense pair has been a mess, or that line's been overrun. They've been almost in every matchup, they've been certainly level, and in most cases, they've had the better of the matchup. And so I mean, this isn't a fluke that they're where they are. They deserve to be up 2-1. And like I said, I keep waiting for Washington to take control of a game, and maybe it just won't happen.
Ray, what's interesting for me, and this is a little bit nitpicky, but this is the first time in a couple games, like that I've seen consistently a couple games in a row where Marner's actually been hit. Where he, you know, you've termed Marner kind of as a greasy player, kind of in and out, finds spaces and doesn't get there. And he's been clobbered a few times. And that's kind of slowed him down, because he's not a guy that's going to win a physical battle. He wins the battles by being quicker and being smarter in plays. And not that he hasn't had production, but I think a lot of that flash and dash of Marner has kind of been dulled a little bit because there's not as much space out there.
Well, you must have watched the Oilers game last night, right?
Yeah.
At least part of it, until it got, you know, out of hand and stuff.
No, I watched it all. Start to finish.
Yeah, well, I went to bed at 4:00. I'm like, okay, uncle, I'm too tired. I got to go to bed. But when I'm seeing the same thing with some of their skill guys. Like, there's just,
yep,
there's less space, there's less time. And so now they start to think that they've got to get rid of the puck so fast that they don't make the plays that they were making in the regular season. It's kind of like a cool little cycle that the player has to figure out. And at some point, you know, like Marner plays so much like Patrick Kane to me. At some point, Kane has been able to figure out when he can hold it, when he's got to move it. He gets hit more than he does in the regular season, but the other night he got his 50th career playoff goal. Like, he had to figure it out at some point. And, you know, I think in all this excitement, and, you know, we keep talking about the inexperience, or the youth rather, of the Leafs, and then you look and you go, oh, this is 4 playoff games tonight. Like, there's a lot to learn for even a guy like Marner, who's so clever. But man, it's hard to believe they're in this spot, you know, with under a handful of playoff games experience.
Well, Leon Draisaitl played his 4th playoff game last night. When do you think he will play his 5th playoff game?
I'm guessing that the league will fine him. I think he should be suspended for a game. I think that's a brutal play. It's a terribly dirty play. And the score and the time left in the game makes me not buy, oh yeah, he got kicked out of this game, that's enough. There's only 27 minutes left. It was already 4-0. And I mean, there wasn't even no emotion into that. That was a screw you spear. I think he should get a game, but I'm more surprised when the league suspends anybody in the playoffs.
Ray, at what point is, I've seen articles, it's becoming an epidemic. Like, this used to happen more frequently, did it not? I mean, Owen and I were talking off air. You try and go to the front of the net on Darian Hatcher, he had his stick buried right in that area and would carry you out of there. Is it because of so many camera angles and some of the things that in modern day,
Ray,
that we're seeing a
lot
Samuelson. More?
And Ulf Samuelson would spear you in the balls 3 times in a row while the ref was looking, and there'd be no penalty.
And the ref would yell, that's enough.
Yeah. Come on, guys, move the puck, move it out.
Yeah. I think it's because we see more, and the vision of the game has changed. For sure.
Right.
I mean, one play that used to happen a lot, and I will say that I was guilty of, was when a guy was hammering you from behind, cross-check after cross-check, finally you just say to yourself, screw it, and you fall forward and kick your skate back up. You're basically trying to kick him in the junk.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the most fair play of all time, but after a while you're like, man, I gotta survive in here. They're killing me in here. And so this stuff, I think, given today's climate, it's a game suspension. But it's not gonna happen unless they need to, if they want to stop it, send a memo out to all 16 teams that are in, send a video of Draisaitl, and say starting tomorrow, whatever game of the series it is, starting tomorrow, that's a game suspension. That's really the only thing they can do.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, though, about how back in the day, generally speaking, not all the time, but a lot of times a spear like that was provoked because you got sucker punched and you turned around and you're like, are you kidding me? These plays today, Crosby, Marchand, Draisaitl, Calvert the other night, completely unprovoked.
Right.
So it optically it does look different. You're like, wait a minute, where did that come from? Not that two wrongs make a right necessarily, but there were times you mentioned Hatcher. Like he'd be pushing you, and then someone would turn around and smack him or give him a spear.
Right.
And it was kind of like, well, you had it coming. You did it to yourself, and that's the trade-off. Now it doesn't feel like it's a trade-off. It's just unprovoked, and optically it has a very different look, and the game is in a very different position. I mean, you want to know the biggest difference between hockey today and hockey 30 years ago? Could you imagine a 7-0 game in the third period of a playoff game 30 years ago?
They'd be still trying to sort it out.
There'd
refs
be 15 fights, and they'd say, forget it, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that would have gone off the way it went off last night. Clean, see you later, we'll catch you in Edmonton for game 5.
Right.
There would be times you'd have to look for your gloves. Because somebody picked them up. You're like, where are my bloody gloves? Oh, I got one of yours over here. Oh, thanks. You know, that would not have gone into the good night last night. That's for sure.
No,
one of those games you're like, damn it, we're up 7-0. This isn't good. This is really not what we had planned.
There's four guys left.
I can say for certain in junior, there would be certain rinks you'd go into, and you would just hope that either you didn't get up too much or they didn't get up too much, because it was going to turn into a boxing match to get out of there.
Prince Albert.
Oh, good, it's 5. We're up 5-1. I hope they get a couple quick ones. Or Manson and Baumgartner are going to be going around like crazy people here.
You're up 5-1. You pull your goalie to make it a closer game so no one loses their teeth. I don't expect that to happen tonight. I don't think the Leafs will be in an Oilers situation. I know Leaf fans are certainly hoping that that won't be the case. Want to ask you about this Jack Eichel report coming out of Buffalo, courtesy of someone at WGR Radio, reporting that Eichel, in his end-of-the-year interview with Tim Murray, the GM, said he's not interested in negotiating long-term with the team if Dan Bylsma is still the coach.
Right.
Now, Eichel's agent came out and said, no dice, that's not true. There's some smoke here. I don't know if there's fire, but I will say this about Eichel. He's an outspoken guy for 2 years into the league.
Right.
And
no winning.
And no winning, and he was hard on his team and his teammates, and I guess himself. You know, he said, it's embarrassing, we've lost 2 years in a row, and I don't think it helps that McDavid's in the playoffs, Matthews is in the playoffs. He's looking at his peers, and they're already having success. But, you know, if there's any truth in this, I would guess he's going to win that battle. Like,
you may
not like it, but Jack Eichel, he's the most powerful guy in Buffalo, wouldn't you say, Ray?
He is, for sure. He's probably, to a certain extent, at least on even footing with the general manager. You know, like he's their star. They're not gonna let Jack Eichel go anywhere. Now the problem becomes he doesn't really have many options because you can't just leave. That's a whole other set of circumstances. He did release a statement I just read a little bit ago that, you know, he's like, you know, I got bombarded with this. I don't even know, you know, I don't know what to say. It's not true. And you know, I mean, you can. But it had to come, a little bit of it had to come from somewhere. There is great frustration in Buffalo. They thought they'd be farther along than they are now. There is some debate in Buffalo whether the Pegulas are willing to pay Rex Ryan to be on television and Dan Bylsma not to coach as well. And they're paying a lot of money for a guy not to coach the Buffalo Bills. And Bylsma's got 3 years left on his deal. It puts the team in a bad spot. If it's at all true, and I can't even say I feel one way or another about it. I don't know enough about it. But if it's at all true, it puts the team in a bad spot, because if Eichel wins, Now he's the guy driving the ship, and that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. That says a lot about your organization.
Big time. Well, we'll see how that plays out. We'll see how the games play out tonight. Enjoy them, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then. We'll talk. Hope it's another good one tonight, because this has sure turned into be a hell of a series to watch.
Best one going so far. Let's hope it continues tonight.
Later on.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
I got a text from Darcy Tucker.
It's an unreal text.
Uh-oh, what's he saying?
Did he read it out?
Read it.
Unprovoked?
Unprovoked.
Hayes has had more food in the alumni box than Johnny Bauer this year. That is probably true.
Do you think you could outfeed Johnny Bauer?
For a whole year? You give me one night and I could eat more than he eats in a year?
I don't know. You've been there twice. I bet you've had more food in there than Johnny Bauer.
I'd be willing to bet that. And he's Johnny Bauer.
Because you circled back thrice on the chicken penne.
Three times.
That's thrice.
I mixed in a couple of dinner rolls, some butter.
There God, was, you fed.
I really did, man. I'm not a guy you want to bring.
And there was no,
food.
Like, most people that go in there, it's like, you think it's okay if I go? You just thought that that buffet was yours.
The green light was on, and I took full advantage.
It was. You went to town,
I did, man.
There was a buzz about you coming out of there.
I'll be honest. I would feel awkward going back in there for a third time.
We're just going for maybe. Like,
I'll go in if you guarantee me a penne.
I've put the email in. If they have the chicken pesto penne, we'll stop by for a quick little feed and leave.
All right. Done, man. Let's do it tonight. Let's bank on it tonight.
I'll be in studio thinking about you.
All right, buddy. We'll send you a text.
You got to go back in there again for those late games?
Yep. Yep. Jeez. Quite exciting.
Just grinding it out.
No overtime. That's all I pray for tonight. No overtime on any of these games.
Especially the late game.
Especially the late game.
Pray for it.
Pray
Where's
for it.
Where's your buddy Glenn's headspace at?
I don't know. I think he's a little nervous.
If they lose tonight, he will not come into work tomorrow.
I misspoke on this show the other day because I said that Glenn was a huge Washington fan and a Leafs fan. Apparently, he's not. Apparently, his wife is a huge Leafs fan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's... Because I saw they brought the kid in, and he had a Matthews jersey on, so I assumed that that was like a Leaf household.
A parent-type thing?
It's the mama who's the Leafs fan and her family. Glenn is on an island on Washington,
well,
apparently.
I like the fact that the mom calls the shot on what the kids are going to support.
We'll see. Like I say, there's always a garbage can in our house.
I don't know about that, man. I wouldn't be throwing Matthews jerseys in there anytime soon. Jerry's percentage is coming up. It was recorded live in the Sport Check studio, so we'll see what comes out of this. And Wendell Clark will be in studio. Pierre LeBrun's coming up in studio. We got to touch on the Pats visiting Donald Trump today and one significant omission.
Well, there was more than that. There was two pictures put on Twitter the last time they won and then this one. It is a lot smaller.
There were a few people that said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
The fact that Brady pulled out. Now, I understand his mom is really sick, but Trump would be heartbroken about that. That is his boy.
Is. Yeah, it is.
That is his guy. You know his whole material, his whole shtick was revolving around Brady being his guy.
But Belichick was there.
Yeah.
Right beside him. And Robert Kraft. But
those guys wouldn't bail on Donnie.
No.
But Brady?
I think he believed that there was a lot more. He's got a lot more to lose than those guys.
I think you're probably right.
As far as image-wise and sponsorship and all of that. Like, it's a big decision to not go. It probably would have been a bigger decision and a lot of more ramifications if he did.
If he went chuckling it up with Trump.
Exactly.
I mean, people, it's a weird spot right now. Jerry's percentage is coming up. Pierre LeBrun, Wendell Clark in studio later in the afternoon. We've got the game for you tonight right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7. We're live at the Sport Check studio in Maple Leaf Square.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
No, keep the booing.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Go, Leafs, go.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, it is. It is Jerry. It's Wednesday at 5:30. The Raptors tied it up last night. Leafs are in action tonight. The Blue Jays are 2-11. mixed emotions in the city, I would say.
I think so, too.
Mixed emotions, because some things are going the way of the Toronto sports fan, other things maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But that's where Jerry generally comes into play, right?
Makes Jerry would be on fire.
Makes us smile a little bit with his ridiculous takes. And my understanding is this week he's got a brief statement he wants to make out of the gate. So let's not waste any more time. Let's see what Jerry has in store this week.
Let me begin with a brief statement about the first week in the playoffs. I'm enjoying it about as much as I enjoy a colonoscopy or being in a room with Rene Fasel's mustache. Rene, if you're listening, I'm still gonna rip that son of a bitch off your face. Chicago, Boston, Washington, and other great American markets are on the verge of elimination. While clown shoe Canadian teams keep winning games, it's a nightmare. Like negotiating a CBA without a lockout. But enough about me. Let's get to the hot takes. If the Maple Leafs win this round, Lou Lamoriello will be caught on TV fist bumping the celebration. Don't do it, Louie boy. Don't do it.
There's the statement out of the gate. Jerry not happy with the first week of the playoffs because Canadian teams are winning games and big American markets are in trouble. But he's calling a shot. If the Leafs win this series, Lou Lamoriello will be spotted full out fist pump, smiling and celebrating.
0%.
Really?
He won't do it. He won't do it. He'll shake Shanny's hand and that's it.
No, he'll have a smile. I don't think he's going to jump up and down.
Okay, he'll smile.
Okay, but define what the reaction is. Because
fist pump. There was a fist pump. That is what Jerry's saying. Fist pump.
76%. Because I think he's going to give Shanny like a hug or a handshake, and he may just give like a little bit of like a fist pump.
Like a
saying
brief
handshake
one.
Only.
All business,
no,
even if they win.
No, we're talking hugs here.
No
we're
way.
We're talking a
you
hug.
You know the guy. Yeah.
I hear you, man, but at some point, like, he's got to show some emotion. He
I
is
know.
Human, after all.
And he's the architect of many great teams, and he has to be proud of what this group has been doing. I believe that he'll get caught up in the moment, and there'll be a smile, a handshake for everyone in the box with him.
I'm with you.
And I don't know if a hug or a fist pump, like, I would like the hug to be thrown in there because I think that's the equivalent of a fist pump.
I think fist pump, handshake, and hug.
You're
100%.
Wow, you're tripling down on that. Okay.
100%.
Fair enough.
Alex Ovechkin will play over 20 minutes in regulation tonight.
You better pull your head out of your ass, Ovi, or you're going down.
Over 20 in regulation tonight.
That's a lot.
25%.
Yeah, that's because you can get him to 19. Like,
I think he'll be at 18 or 19.
Yeah,
I think 20, that's asking a lot. Unless they get a ton of power plays tonight.
Well,
I mean,
unless the coach just says, I'm triple shifting you. I'm throwing out here with the first line, the fourth line, and offensive zone faceoffs, any kind of icing, you're going out there and goes crazy.
Right.
Which is probably a dumb thing to do.
But don't you think he's got to hit 18 tonight?
Oh,
at least.
He's 18 or 19. 20 is just a stretch. I'm going to say 6%.
Okay, I'll go a little bit higher than you guys just because I think another thing that will happen is if the refs are calling penalties, he's a two-minute power play guy tonight.
Correct.
He is anyway for the most part, but he's a two-minute power play guy tonight.
Right, right.
And I think four-on-four, no more Backstrom and Oshie. It's Backstrom and Ovi. I think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to get to 20, so I can't go north of 50%, but I think he could get closer than you guys think. I'll say 35%.
Right.
35%.
Chicago and Minnesota will both get swept.
Which means Quenneville will be at the Kentucky Derby and Boudreaux will have a furnace face that lasts for weeks.
100%.
You think they're both getting swept?
Yeah, I do.
No. 0%.
0% and 100%. Look at you two.
You're saying both. One of them could get swept. That means 0%.
I hear you, man. I'm closer to you than 100%. I don't think they're...
You don't think Minnie or Chicago can win one game in this series?
How many times, if you want to go like by numbers, how many times does the team that...
Well, Columbus did it.
Okay, great.
This isn't the NBA. The NBA has a history of sweeps, do they not?
More so than the NHL.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think, I mean, both teams, they've got pride. They're, can Jake Allen have a fourth great game in a row?
It's just there's the law of averages.
Yeah,
it says it's at least going 5.
I can't go 0% and I can't go 100%.
Look at Columbus last night, barely held on.
Well, exactly. They almost got swept. But, they barely held on.
But they did.
I'll be indecisive on this. I'll say 50%. I can't have full faith either way because mentally, you know, yeah, you got to get the ball rolling and all that kind of stuff, but are you wasting your own time even if you do win a game?
But to win this, all you need is one team to win one game.
I hear you. I know that. And they're two good teams. They're the two top teams
in
the West.
100%.
Yeah. All right, I'll be in the middle at 50%.
My police escort's here to go to the panel. We got to speed it up.
Not yet.
Tell Duffy to wait. Bacon hasn't arrived.
The Blue Jays will trade Josh Donaldson before the beginning of next season.
Better win that trade, Shapiro. Or sorry, Shapiro, are your toast too?
Donaldson traded before the beginning of next year.
No, 0%. He's one of those guys. If the team's going to go in the tank and not perform well, isn't he one of those guys that people want to buy tickets and still go watch? And kind of regroup and build around?
Don't they have to sign him though?
He's got arbitration rights, but he can't walk. So right. they control him for another 2 years. I have wavered on this, just depending on how ugly it gets and how committed they get to a blow-it-up rebuild. If you're fully committed to a scorch-the-earth, be awful for years,
right,
blow-up rebuild, which I'm not committed to right now. I can't imagine the Jays are committed to. I think they will trade them. If they're thinking we can retool and keep moving forward, you don't. I mean, he's 30-31. He's still a beast.
Yeah.
But I got to leave the door open a little bit. So. I got to leave it open a little bit. I'll say 20%. 20%. They could still go down that road.
24%.
Just to grease me a little bit.
Yeah, but there's no way they're trading him. Like, I should have gone 0, but I just – you never know. You never know what's going on because we thought it was a lock of the century that they were going to sign Edwin and let Bautista walk.
Mm-hmm. That didn't changed happen. Pretty quickly.
Changed quickly.
And if they end up with, like, 65 wins and worst team in the league and
– Right, right.
Anything could happen between now and the beginning of next year.
Tonight's game will go to a fourth straight overtime.
So pucker up, Leafs fans.
Four straight overtimes. Jerry's calling it.
5%. I can't see it happening again.
I'm shocked it went 3 straight overtimes.
Yeah, 4%. 5%. What did I say?
I'm going 0%. I think something has to end in regulation.
Me too, 0%.
0%? You're jumping on that bandwagon too? Noodles? I would love an overtime. It would be a blast to watch.
Yeah, our hearts wouldn't take it. I'm going to make it right around 0%.
We're all at 0?
I want somebody to win in regulation.
At some point, you got to win a game in reg, right?
You don't want to do that.
We're all at 0%.
I want to sit there, and it's going to be a grind. No overtime.
At least 3 Canadian teams will make it through to the second round.
It sickens me to say that.
At least 3 teams.
3 out of 5.
Based on where we are right now, he's got 3 of the 5. I would assume Calgary he's not including in that.
Right.
But he's got 3 of Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa moving on.
I think 15%. That's where I'm at with that.
51%.
5 days ago, I was
way lower than that. 51%.
76%.
76%.
Yeah.
You're feeling good about 3 Canadian teams getting through. I think the Habs and Ottawa will get through. I said that before the round. And then it's Toronto or Edmonton. You know, I think one of them will get through.
There's some pretty good Canadian teams out there. And 3 out of 5, I believe, will make it to the second round.
All right. Let's get to our final Jerry of the week.
Kyle Lowry will finish the first round as the Raptors' leading scorer.
He had a good night last night.
100%.
100%.
Yeah, he always rises to the top and gets the job done. I mean, DeMar obviously is a factor, but
that's the thing. He's competing with DeMar, and I think that's why you got to lower the percentage. But yeah. Full credit to Kyle last night. Like, he performed. He battled back the way he was supposed to. He was awful in game one. He stepped up big time last night. He has the ball more than anyone else on the court, so he has the opportunity to dictate how many points will be distributed. But I got to open the door for DeMar. I mean, DeMar's got a 35-40 point night waiting for him. I don't think Kyle hits that. So I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say 30%.
Oh, really?
I think DeMar will end up leading this team in points by the end of the round. 30%.
16%.
Just to be a weasel.
Yeah.
Just to leave me in the middle again.
Yeah.
You believe in DeMar.
No, okay. I do believe. I'm believing in the field.
Well, that's another thing. Serge Ibaka.
Exactly. Ibaka comes back. You never know.
Yep, absolutely. All right, there you have it. Jerry's percentages.
I thought Jerry did pretty good for being.
He did pretty well.
Very well, considering he somehow got down to Sportchek, recorded everything, had an opening statement.
In front of people.
In front of people. We may have cost them some business because it sounded like there was a lunatic in the corner
yelling. Screaming in the background.
I don't think Jerry was very comfortable.
No, me neither. I was about to video Jerry, and I got told, don't do that.
Jerry told you.
Yeah. You better get a fingy into you before you head over to the panel.
Oh, yeah.
And get that pesto ready because I'm coming in hot.
I love it.
We'll see you up top.
All right.
The O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. We got the game for you tonight. Pre-game in about 45 minutes. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. Pierre LeBrun will be in studio. Wendell Clark at 6:10. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Game four tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. Pregame at 6:30. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, will join us in studio at the top of the hour. And Wendell Clark is going to join us around the table around 6:10. Looking forward to catching up with Wendell, as always.
Do we bring up the Bruce Bell hit? We bring it up every time. It's like Mike Modano coming on the show. We talk about him and the stretcher incident. We have to bring up the Bruce Bell hit. Like,
I know, but it's almost like we've been typecast, right? Like,
yeah.
I think we're done with Modano and the stretcher. Like, the next time we have Mike on, we can't be like, hey, have you ever heard Sam Rosen?
Yeah, I guess you don't
And mind. The call and the same thing. Like, the Bruce Bell hit is such a massive hit.
All I want to know is we're talking about Leon Draisaitl potentially getting a fine or a one-game suspension for a little spear to the undercarriage last night. What would that hit be in today's game? What would the Wendell Clark on Bruce Bell hit, what would be the standard on that?
Well, it would be many, many games.
Rafi Torres on Hossa?
Yeah,
it would
be 25, 30 games, especially if Wendell had like a rap sheet to begin with. Rafi had one at that point too, right? Like, that's the amazing thing is Wendell, I don't know if he ever got suspended. We'd have to look it up. Everything was clean based on those standards back then.
Maybe a charging penalty, that's it.
Yeah, and I want to ask him, you know, how he would have responded if he was on Edmonton last night in 1987.
Yeah, that's...
Down 7-0 going in, you know, late in the game.
Let's do that.
What kind of reaction would you have? So final half hour coming up for us. Pierre LeBrun in studio. Wendell's coming up as well. We're live at the Sportcheck studio right outside of Maple Leaf Square. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.